Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us. I am so excited to have my amazing guest, Shira Lazar, with me today. Shira and I have known each other forever and a day. We've been in many a room together. Hi, Shira.
Hi, it's an honor to be here. I get all your email blasts and I see all your podcasts and listen to them, so it's cool to be here with you.
I'm so excited. You know, you and I have had wonderful conversations offline over the years and been in rooms together, as I said. And, you know, we circulate around the same industry, a lot of the same people, a lot of mutual friends.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to bring your energy, this conversation, and all that you're doing to this podcast today. Here we talk about all kinds of aspects of people reinventing different parts of their lives, their businesses, their personal, their spiritual, the tools it takes to do it, and to be able to bring you into this conversation with the kind of work that you're doing, which is, you know, I feel like you're constantly reinventing yourself. So I can't think of a better person to have.
It's a nice alignment. Yes.
We're on the same page. It is. It's really special. So for those who don't know you, I'm going to give a little quick background and then we're going to delve in. Shira is an Emmy nominated leading voice around digital culture and emerging trends. She took the internet by storm with her web-first news brand, What's Trending, back in 2011. And for over two decades, Shira has been a leading voice in the creator economy and social media trends, speaking at prestigious conferences such as South by Southwest, VCon, NFT NYC, and NFT LA. She was named one of Fast Company's most influential women in technology and featured on NFT Now's NFT 100 Most Influential list. Shira is also the co-founder of Peace Inside Live, a digital wellness agency and collective focused on building customized programs for innovative companies, teams, and communities, which I'm going to get to experience a little bit of this in two weekends. And from 2018 to 2022, Shira illuminated airwaves as the host of the afternoon drive show Let's Go There on Channel Q, an Odyssey original station, and the award-winning LGBTQ plus talk radio network. This illustrious journey has made Shira a sought-after speaker at international conferences where she shares insights on emerging tech, blockchain and AI, the creator economy, social media trends, and the future of well-being. And she has just released her brand new book, The Jomo Journal, a daily practice for the joy of missing out. Okay, I think we all need a copy of that.
Yes, go get it now. That's why I'm here.
So we have a lot of ground to cover. And wow, I mean, just, you know, such a wonderful journey you've been on in your professional career. But I want to take a moment before we go there. I want to go back. I want to go back to little Shira.
Oh.
Who was little Shira? Who was that 5-year-old or 12-year-old little girl? Did you have any idea what life had in store for you or what you intended to create for your life that, you know, you look back on now and say, yeah, hello, am I still in there? Was this what I expected? What were the twists and turns and those aha reinvention moments that got you where you are?
Yeah, I love that question. When I was younger, I loved performing. I loved acting. I loved singing and just being playful and having fun, which hopefully a lot of us have that in us from when we were younger.
Yes.
But so it's not surprising that I ended up being in a field where, while I'm not an actress in many ways, I have a performance element to what I do as a broadcaster, a host, an interviewer on air. But I think that the producing element came in probably because I wanted more control. And that's how I ended up more in unscripted programming in many ways and content. And so, yeah, for me, it does all connect.
I mean, you've always had a voice, right, Shira? You've always had a voice and a perspective, and I think have been a student of everything going on around you. So it feels like it's been a very natural trajectory for you.
Yeah, well, so for me, there's two sides to it. Like, I've always loved the medium of entertainment. And I was watching talk shows and news magazines growing up. And I would even create my own interview segments for school for a presentation. It's like I was doing that when I was younger, which is crazy.
There you go.
So again, not surprising. Yeah. Yeah. I think that I also didn't realize simultaneously I was an early adopter. My dad was very into tech and he was also an entrepreneur. So I was always getting access to the new gadgets and things. And I would show them to my friends and we would play with them early. For me at the time, it felt cool. And then I didn't realize that that also became intertwined into my work to kind of see things early and also approach things from an entrepreneurial perspective, because I grew up with entrepreneurs, the men in my life. My mom was a teacher, so that's where my compassion, I think, and empathy comes into play.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think I'm a smorgasbord of all those things that were around me, plus my nature of wanting to connect with people and express myself. And yeah, the journey of finding my voice and continuing to learn how to be more myself, and then through that, lead by example for others.
And did you always see, as you started to grow and knowing you had, I mean, I love that you are able to point to the early days of your interest, your curiosity, your passion, your ability to do what you do so beautifully now. Was there a moment in time as you got a little bit older and that sense of responsibility of how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to make a living? What is my career path? How do I create a business out of this? What was that like? So many people that listen to this show and that are looking to reinvent their lives or create their lives or are at milestones, you know, they want to lean into things that they love and that they're passionate about. And it's something I certainly encourage everybody to do because I always have. But yeah, there's not always a direct line to how to, you know, support yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about having to become the wealthiest person in the world, but supporting ourselves, keeping a roof over our head, our family's head. So was that ever a question for you? Like, do I have to choose between the two or how do I bring them together?
Yeah. When I started out, I was an associate producer for reality shows and talk shows, and I was helping this Emmy award-winning producer that I met at the Ellen DeGeneres show. And if I followed that path, I would have continued just being behind the scenes. But there was something in me that was like always kind of fighting that. And I felt like that it's that voice we all have of something that's in us that's not being expressed.
Fulfilled. I call it that gnawing voice in our head. I speak of, you know, that we very often, what do? We sweep it under the rug.
Right? Exactly. And so I think I encourage everyone to befriend that voice and talk to that voice and understand what that voice needs. Cause that is you basically. It's not just a voice, it's you. And so, and it doesn't mean cutting off what you're doing or jumping ship right away. It just means starting to build that relationship. It's like you don't move in with the person you're dating right away. You date them, right?
Love that.
And then at a certain point, you realize maybe it's time to move. Maybe my lease is up when it does. Like planning it out. You don't just peace out and leave your rental or whatever and then move in with someone else. Like you build out possibly a plan. Well, some of us don't.
Yes.
But you know what I mean? I think that you have to look at your transitions in life like that. Of course, sometimes there will be those moments that it's like, this needs to happen now or else it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you jump in feet
and
first.
Only you know that if that's okay for you. And the repercussions or consequences are what will happen from that. In the end, we all have responsibilities. Exactly. We all have bills to pay. So how do you balance out these impromptu moves or these things that we need to do for ourselves while also showing up for the things that we've set up in our life? And I think it's a constant balance in that way. So with that, I think I've always played and allowed myself to be curious and test things out while also not necessarily piecing out for my current responsibilities, right? So I was a producer with this person and she kept on bringing me on jobs. It allowed me to save some money. So when I kind of hit that moment where I said, I don't think I could do this anymore, I had saved a bit. And then I was able to kind of start experimenting with what could work in this new realm. At the time, it was red carpet interviews and being on air and seeing how other people were doing it at the time, but then also seeing the opening for new opportunities that were coming up in digital and how to use my expertise to my advantage. So I think that it's a mixture. When I see new spaces or industries or opportunities, it's, does this fulfill my passion? Is this something that's gnawing at me that feels aligned? Where can I add value? And also, what's my expertise? Because my expertise from my background might not necessarily be the current passion or that vision. But right. there's those three things, when you identify that, I do believe helps you transition in a more peaceful way. In a way, and it feels like at least you're planning for something. You're making it work versus, you know, and in the end, though, it is about just jumping out of the plane and building the parachute on the way down sometimes. That sometimes happens too, and that's okay. I think, again, we all have these stories that we hear of how it's worked for someone else or how we think it should be. And I think that in the end, I could share all these different tips and all that, but only you know what's right for you. Yeah. So that's the practice of figuring out what's right for you. And again, every path is different. So once you accept that, while also looking at maybe the data and other people, how they've done it, once you look at all of that, you could kind of, I think, approach risks in a measured, yet also, I guess, it, with acceptance of what is possible, that everything that could happen might be within your plan or it might not. And it might lead you somewhere you didn't even realize was possible.
Yeah. No, I love that. And thank you for sharing that perspective in detail, because I think you touched on some really important points that people grapple with, you know, getting out of your comfort zone just enough to explore what's possible, trying it on. You know, I speak to so much of this in my book and in all these conversations that we have about how to move from square one. And, you know, I talk in the book about having a reinvention roadmap. It's like a GPS system. If you don't put into the GPS system where you want to end up, you're actually not going to be able to end up there, because you will not navigate in that direction. And that's exactly what you're alluding to, that, you know, I always say it might be a 5-minute reinvention or a 10-year reinvention, but if you put one foot in front of the other and take those steps, whether it's learning, getting mentors, trying something on for a moment, exploring it, moving towards it, putting 5 cents in the coffee jar every day, whatever that is, you may wake up one day and go, wow, I've arrived. I did it. But if you don't do that, you won't arrive there. And so, you know, really, how risky is it? And I think people are afraid of failure.
Of course, as humans,
a great fear of failure, right?
Yeah. As humans, we are afraid of the uncertain, right? It's a fight or flight reaction. So the minute we realize this is how our brains and biologically we were made, right? You could also distinguish, is this one, my fear coming in just based on being human and not having a sense of the future, which is freaking scary. Is this a part of me from the past that has been traumatized? Is this a trigger? Is this PTSD? Or am I in the driver's seat? Is me at 40 now, or wherever you're at, is that person in the driver's seat? And a lot of times that person isn't in the driver's seat. Yeah. But that's okay. Just recognizing who is there and the filter through which you're putting your own experience. Right. And so, and I think what you just said was so great, because you might have a sense of where your GPS is going. Like, you might have a specific location, or you might have a state. Right? And then you're going to navigate
a state of being
or the country. Right. Right. And so a state of being and a
right. A state. It's a bit of a metaphor.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I tell people, even when I meet or when I've felt this way, that I'm feeling like something is missing from this current stage of my life. That je ne sais quoi. And that could be scary and hard and put us, a lot of us, in a depression, because it feels like a lack of a sense of purpose. And what if this is just my life? Yeah. I think we've all been there. And I think that that's when curiosity is important, or just learning and just being, I'm going to start being open to things and just navigating, moving where my interests lie. And then you'd be amazed that one day it pops up and you go, wow, I think this is it. This might be that next thing.
Yeah,
but if you weren't open and had compassion and kindness for yourself, you're not going to get there, because you're also trying to control that experience too. We're all trying to control it all.
Well, so that's such an interesting word that you bring up, the word control.
Yeah.
You know, like that relationship we have to the word control, the feeling of being out of control, but yet being able to control the unknown. And if you have a sense of, I'm going to control the unknown, guess what? You're in control. You're just controlling something different. So, you know, for people who have that fear of the discomfort, you know, the expression of get comfortable feeling uncomfortable, mm-hmm. is a really interesting and important thing for certain people. You know, I've built a career, a life, a business on just doing what I want and going with the flow and being strategic and creating and building things that I wanted based on what I was excited about and passionate about. I feel like you have as well. And that doesn't happen by itself. And I didn't just, you know, I've had so many people say to me, it was actually the catalyst point for writing the book, where people would say to me 12, 15 years ago, oh, you're so lucky, you get to do what you want, when you want, how you want. You have this incredible business and career and life, and you're always having so much fun. And I was like, that is not luck. That was by design. Yeah. I decided that I wanted to be the creator of my life and build what I wanted with my values and my interests with people. I have fired clients. I have let them go. I get to say no to things I don't want to work on. And I think when we realize that we are each the center of our own little universe and we get to make those choices, we can build the life that we want. And it may not be easy. And you said at the very beginning of this conversation, you know, you can't just like run off and go do something without any regard for everything and everybody around you.
Yeah.
But you can put the steps in place, right?
Yeah, I think for me, because I've been in so many zones of my life where I was in the flow, so much going on, and there's drama and chaos, and I'm just trying to stay above water. I'm drowning, you know? So I think that what I've realized looking back at all those phases, obviously, you know, we say, oh, everything happened for a reason. That's always, hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
But, you know, those stories of, I would say, survival, and what I learned in that is how I show up today. So I am grateful for all those moments, and I continue to be grateful for all those moments that I don't even know are there that I'm going through now. That said, I think what's key that a lot of us don't do because of the busyness of life, and we have all learned to be very reactive versus responsive and intentionally responsive in our lives. A lot of us don't just give ourselves space. And it could be 5 to 10 minutes a day, even. I'm not talking about a retreat where you're gone for a month in the Himalayas, even though I've done 2 weeks in the Himalayas. But you know what I mean? I'm talking about that. I'm just talking about sitting down with yourself, going somewhere just quiet. It could be a cafe, it could be outside, whatever works for you, your dining room, and just saying, you know, what are my values? What is important to me? Then saying, what would be a perfect day? What does a perfect day feel like or look like to me? And then, you know, for maybe your personal, and then maybe with work involved, what does that feel like and look like? What types of people do I want to work with? How do I want to feel every day? Like, asking these questions and writing it and really then closing your eyes after you write these things and feeling into it, imagining it and really feeling it. One, scientifically, it tricks your brain into like what that is like. So you build those neural pathways to know that it's possible for you. Yes. But then you start to recognize, ooh, when something like that actually does show up in real life, you could recognize the feeling. Ooh, I felt that before and that felt good. This feels good. Or, ooh, this doesn't feel good. And is this, again, my triggers, my trauma, this, or is this just not aligned? And that's okay. But if we don't give ourselves time and space to reflect and understand who we are being guided by an external compass and not our own.
Yeah, no.
I think that is the most important thing.
It's so spot on. I talk about this all the time with people. It's part of, you know, what I talk about in the book, and that exercise of being at one with ourselves, pausing. And, you know, we all know what we just went through during the pandemic. It was the greatest pause of all. And ironically, my book came out the week before. Literally, my pub date was March 7th, 2020. Yeah. The week before everybody was asked to go home and, you know, shelter in place and, you know, talk about the pause I was talking about. I was saying exactly what you just said in the book, like, stop, take a breath, pause, reflect, think about where are you at in your life? Are you living your values? I have these power tools in the book where I ask people even to put the book down. And I 3 pages later say, no, I meant it. Put the book down.
Yeah.
Like, don't just read this and go, oh yeah, good idea. That's true. I should, I am. Mm-hmm, I agree with that. Do the work. And to your point, do the work, reflect, sit back and just kind of go, okay, what are my values? What is important? Am I really, what is that gnawing feeling that keeps coming up that I keep ignoring, and have a moment with it and explore the possibilities of what you could be doing, how you could be living, who you could be engaging with to give you what you want out of life. You don't have to act instantly, but you can start creating that roadmap, that plan, that life that you hope one day you wake up and say, I kind of got this and I'm good and I'm happy. And, you know, isn't it about trying to find the happiness in our lives? Are we not, as my favorite word is, are we not entitled? And if you feel entitled to do that work and to have that in your life, you can create some version of it.
Totally. And then I think the moment you taste that it's possible, it doesn't mean that there's not moments that you kind of go back and things happen and, you know, sure, it was up and down, but at least, you know, you're like, oh, I've had that. It's possible. And I'm worthy of that.
Or there'll be a derailment or a moment or a disruption or a pandemic or whatever.
You stop judging those things because you realize like life is seasonal. We're nature. You know, we have blooms and then the leaves fall. And guess what? We blossom again.
Exactly.
It's cyclical. It is cyclical. So yeah. Be kind to yourself.
It's okay. Yeah. Give yourself the grace. And this is just such an extraordinary conversation, but I want to talk a little bit more about you and the projects that you're involved with. Okay. First of all, the work that you're doing with the Peace Inside sort of things that you're doing, which
Peace
I think
inside
a lot
everywhere.
Of everywhere. Like you're talking a bit about that. I want to talk about your journey, your reinventions, your evolutions of things you're doing, your book. Talk a bit about, you know, some of these projects, if you will, that are front and center in your world right now and where they fit into the big picture of what you're doing and the impact that you're having on others because of that.
Yeah, well, I launched my company, a media brand and publisher, What's Trending, over a decade ago. And that was a transition, also a reinvention. I had gone from a more producer to entertainment news reporter, talking head, on-air host, but then moving into the digital realm, blogger for CBS News, and also creating a position that wasn't even around.
Right.
I just saw a need and a gap. And I pitched it to so many people and most people said no. One person happened to say yes. And that became the stepping stone. then to launching an actual show around it, which again, like, and we talk about reinvention or transitions, like a lot of people might meet you and say, why haven't you done this? You should be doing this. You know, that's great. And that's great encouragement, but only you know when you're ready and when it's time to do those things. So a lot of people at the time even were telling me when I was on the rise in the digital realm, and this is the first creator economy. Right. Why don't you have your own talk show? Why don't you have this? And I was just like, I'm not ready. It just, that is in my head. And I'll know when the sign is here. And it, and then finally I knew when the timing was right. We launched What's Trending, and we launched it originally with CBS News. And we had a separation from CBS News. And then that threw me into entrepreneurship. I was forced into entrepreneurship, and it went from being a show into a company. And that was another reinvention. And then guess what? I fought even some of that reinvention. I didn't call myself an entrepreneur, or even when I stepped into the CEO role after my co-founder and CEO left, I never introduced myself as a CEO or even founder. I was still a broadcaster, on-air person with a company. And it took the past few years, like in COVID, with my own introspection and personal work, to then own it and claim that, no, while this looks different than maybe to some people, while I haven't done a huge raise and I haven't been in the forefront like that publicly.
Right.
This is still who I am. And I have the battle wounds to prove it, even if I didn't.
Of course.
But, you know, and I realize that I do have insight and I do have an understanding and perspective. And I realize that, one, in talking to other people about their businesses, that, wow, I have that because I am a business owner too. So that was a whole also reinvention. But what really happened and what led me to the wellness space is that I was super burnt out and slightly depressed in 2019, oddly enough, before COVID, from so many ups and downs of the business, hitting seven figures, then back to zero, then seven figures. It was just like being just thrown around. It's like my soul and spirit had been thrown around and I was just done.
Yeah.
And I started, you know, reading things. I started actually, The Artist's Way was a huge book for me, which is also all about journaling. And we'll talk more about our journal in a moment. Yeah. But that's when I really started free-flowing journaling, doing the morning pages, which is so famous from the book, rediscovering who I was, because I got to that point where I said, I know I'm not this person and I can't accept that I just feel so blah. This is not who I am.
Yeah.
And I went on a journey to figure out why I'm here and how I could be happy again. And then that's what led me to many different deep, crazy workshops, led me to going to Everest Base Camp, to the Himalayas, which then started these conversations with now my co-founder of Peace Inside Live, Jordana Rehm, because I'd known her for years and she had left her ad agency world to become a meditation guide and mindfulness coach. And we started talking about why I'm scared of bringing these topics to the work I do. Is this meant to be behind the scenes? Sometimes we have passions just to have passions. Yeah, you don't need to bring your knitting into a business, right?
100%. Beautifully said. You can just have it. Let it give you joy, nurture your soul, and have all of it. Yep.
Not everything needs to be an Instagram account or a business. That is very difficult for a lot of us.
That is a drop mic statement right there. Right? Thank you.
But for me, it was that my Instagram, my personal Instagram, at least, because I'd been working so hard on my work platforms, I didn't even know who I was or what my voice was at this point. I lost baby Shira and lost current Shira. Right? I was just by brand Shira. I was What's Trending with Shira. That's it. And so the practice was finding out who I actually am and what does my voice represent? What do I care about? And that led me to start sharing that on social media, which also started out feeling really cringy because I had my own thoughts of that. Does this sound weird? Is it cheesy? What are people going to think? Am I going to sound preachy? But then, yeah, it's like getting on a bike. At first, you're wobbly in the scenes, or even driving. Oh my God, you ever remember driving? It felt weird.
Very foreign.
Exactly. And you're like, and the same thing. And so I equate it to the same thing. All of those new things might feel that way. But if you feel like there's an itch, there's something there, which I knew because I'd built brands on social. Yes. I consulted with people to do these things. But yet for me, it was oddly enough very difficult. And then I had to give myself grace and space to say what I published today might be different than what I publish tomorrow or a week. And like, and my voice might change and that's okay. And yes, I might go back even now and think maybe that is cringy and that's okay. That's my evolution.
That was definitely the evolution and the journey and all of those fed into what was next.
Yeah. So that was the reinvention into more finding myself again, moving into, it's so weird to say moving into wellness because our lives, it's an integration, right? Yeah. So we're acknowledging my wellness and acknowledging that is something possibly that I want to support others with too.
Yeah.
And then starting Peace Inside Live during the pandemic with Jordan after we had been co-creating and producing content. She was in Thailand. She got stuck there. I was in LA. She had done this virtual retreat, which at the time on Zoom, we were like, whoa, this is really amazing that we could experience this on Zoom. So within a month of the pandemic, we launched this virtual studio. We had facilitators we knew who are incredible around the world. And we were doing classes of up to 100 people twice a day. This is at the same time, we talk about reinvention. I was a radio host. So that was also a reinvention, you know, in the midst of all of this in 2018, being asked to be part of a radio station and fulfilling my Ryan Seacrest dreams.
I love that. I get it. You know what I mean? Yeah, and I get it. And, trust me, I've been behind the camera my whole life for clients, and all of a sudden I'm on this side of it. I'm like, I missed my calling. Like, I love what I do. And I'm like, well, I haven't missed it. I'm doing it.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
So it's wonderful.
So I was doing that. We were recording live, and you can imagine during COVID, the subject matters we were talking about, which were very heavy. And then twice a day, we had these virtual classes that I was running. So I was getting, you know, pinged from people. Hey, I'm trying to get into the class and I'm on the radio. Like, it's the whole thing. Talk about a balancing act. So that's what I was saying. I knew that my radio job was paying my bills. I had this passion project that wasn't necessarily this is going to pay my bills. And I didn't want to put the pressure on it to pay my bills.
Right. Good for you.
And so I decided.
Huge statement.
Yeah. I decided, and this was my decision and I owned it, that I was going to do Peace Inside Live because I cared about it and it was a purposeful thing for me, right? Yeah. It was mission driven and aligned with my values. And maybe it was part of my next chapter. I didn't know, but I just kept putting one foot in front of the other and allowed it to kind of grow and develop and evolve without saying like, I need to raise money or I need this to be where my money's coming from.
Yeah.
That's just not
being
easy.
Authentic. You were being authentic in the moment of, you know.
I was also being reasonable to the project and to my life. And did that mean a lot of work? Did that mean I felt a bit spread thin? Totally. Yeah. It was not a perfect process. And that's okay. But that was my decision. So when people would say to me or, you know, how are you doing all this? Why don't you simplify it? I go, I know I'm going to at a certain point. I'm not ready yet.
But it also speaks, Shira, to A, your capacity, your passions. I mean, look, I 1,000% identify with everything you just said. You know, I run an agency. I've got clients. I've got staff. I've got a book. I've got a podcast. I've got family. I've got all kinds of interests. Like when you are fueled by what you're doing, your capacity to do more is extraordinary. And you were living and I think still are that. And so those who impose on us, oh, how can you do it all? It's like, I just do it.
Yeah. And Elizabeth Gilbert, you know, Eat, Pray, Love, she has a book called Big Magic, which I really loved, which was inspiring to me.
Yes.
Because she said, you know, if you have a creative outlet or you have something that you know needs to grow and thrive and find itself, but maybe you're not sure about where the money is yet. can you allow it to do that while making money somewhere else? That's why she says never put pressure on that. And I think that once I accepted that, and I use it to my benefit, I leverage the jobs I have, the money I'm making, to then pour into my other things and reinvest into myself. Exactly. Instead of, guess what, begging someone else to invest in me, I could then do it in my way, exactly, in my time.
Yeah.
And, you know, because the energy would go to get that money from someone else, guess what? That's probably more or worse than possibly keeping that job or that other thing going, so that you could take a bit of that money to reinvest in you.
Do you hear that, people? Do you hear what I'm she's saying? You know,
and then that's something I continue.
That's the secret ingredient. Job. That is the secret ingredient for reinventors who really are trying to, let's say, add something into their lives. Like,
I did that with the radio job, and then Web3 came about, and I reinvented again. And at that point, I was now doing Peace Inside Live, the radio, and Web3s. And then the awareness was, my plate is now too full. My plate is now just a bunch of food. I don't even know what the food looks like anymore, because it's all mishmashed. It's like a mishmash. Right. And that's when it felt authentic for me to step back and simplify. I left the radio job, focused on Web3 and my personal brand, and not just Web3, but emerging tech, consulting, advising, figuring out the next stage of my company, what's trending, which I had let someone run day to day that I had hired.
Right.
And the future of Peace Inside Live. And now guess what? My consulting supports my other things that sometimes can't pay me. So it's about finding that thing that will pay you based on your expertise, and not easy money, because nothing is easy necessarily. I hate that idea.
It takes work. No, it all takes work.
Yeah, it's work. And guess what? We can do hard work. We can do hard work.
Yes.
We can handle it.
We can. But,
and then being able to say, okay, now I'll have that money that I'll invest in my personal brand. I'll invest in Peace Inside Live if we need. And when what's trending is my own company, guess what? Sometimes it pays me, sometimes it doesn't, because I prioritize my team.
Yep.
Then that's where my money comes from. And that's it. And, you know, unfortunately, this is a reality too, and then we'll move on to the next subject. But this inspiration not only came from the Big Magic book, but it came from talking to a lot of men I knew.
Yes.
Who, because men talk more, I've experienced talk more publicly about money and what they do. And I had a very honest conversation with a friend of mine who's a guy and who is a president at a company, advises, consults. And I asked him, how are you affording all this stuff? Like, what is your personal budget every month? Because you have a family, you have this house, this. And he was so real with me. I go, how do you afford that? He goes, I do a lot of different things. And that is the reality. And I wish more of us talked about that. And this is someone, you know, because women do that and they're called out, like, oh, you're spreading yourself thin, you're everywhere. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Every guy is... or most guys are doing that. Not to be like binary about it or maybe sexist.
Right.
But that was an aha moment.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us don't talk about that.
Interesting.
But that's how a lot of people are making it happen. Well, you do it. I think, Kathy, you are honest with me as a woman about that. But there's it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. And then that's why some people do have.
No, and nor are there, do there need to be limitations. We don't have to, if I'm doing this, I can't do that. It's the, let's do it all and do it great. And it is possible. You know, my dad used to say when I was little, don't be a jack of all trades and a master of none. And I've laughed at that through my whole life going, well, I'm the jack of all trades and I'm a master at all of them. And I give a lot of myself. I believe there are 24 hours in every day. And you know what they say, if you want something done, give it to a busy person.
Totally.
And lean in and create the things you want around you. And it's possible.
It is all possible.
Yeah.
And I think for me, and I talked about this recently with someone, besides the practicality of it, and sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, right? is that I now look at my life, and while maybe on the outside, people think, oh, it's everywhere, this, that. But for me, I feel like I'm expressing all the parts of me in different ways. There's not one part of me that feels limited or quieted down. I feel like everything is a puzzle that is a piece of who I am. And that's a beautiful thing. That is a fulfilling thing. I feel like that is actually true fulfillment. It doesn't mean it needs to be at the biggest level, et cetera, et cetera. It just means that you are allowing that part of you to shine.
I love that. I love that. Drop mic.
So should we talk about the journal?
Let's talk about the journal because we are running out of time, sadly. So I feel like this should be like a 2-hour show, but unfortunately we both have meetings we have to get to in our very busy lives.
So
but let's talk about your journal, please. Yes.
Having developed Peace Inside Live and now evolving from a virtual studio now into, as you mentioned, an experience agency for well-being, working with companies, communities, teams. We also come up with ideas based on the things that have worked for us. And as I mentioned, journaling has been very life-changing for me in support of my process, and the same with my co-founder, Jordana. And so we came up with the JOMO Journal. One, a theme that we thought was very relevant for today's times.
Hold on. We're going to capture that little image right there while you're talking, and I'm going to make sure.
So the idea is that there's a lot of FOMO. It's pervasive in our modern society. And oddly enough, FOMO and JOMO have both been words in the dictionary that have been around for many years. But why do we know FOMO more?
Yeah.
Because we default possibly to that as humans more often than the joy of missing out, JOMO. And so we thought it'd be fun as a daily practice and for a journal to lean into how we support you in finding your JOMO, which means finding a way to be present, finding ways to have gratitude, mindfulness, to understand your values, understand what brings you joy through different practices, because then you could be more intentional in your life and choose what works for you versus it choosing you, right? And you reacting to it.
Right. Right.
And also a lot of times when FOMO comes up, it's this deep-rooted anxiety that you're not supposed to be where you are right now.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be somewhere else. And so you're probably not enjoying the moment. And so how are you supposed to enjoy the future if in this moment you can barely be yourself?
Yeah.
This moment creates the next. And so the practice of JOMO, for us, we have morning and nighttime prompts and questions that allow you to reflect on these things. One of my favorite questions is, what do I joyously choose not to do today?
Wow.
Right?
Okay. And I am so doing a deep dive on this. I cannot wait. Yeah. I've been meaning to get a copy of it, and I'm desperate to play. Let's call it to play.
Yeah. And there's play. There's art in here. There's ways you can express yourself through art. And we have artists, we have quotes. And so it's a guided journal that supports your daily practice.
That's incredible. Where is it available?
It's available peaceinside.live/JOMO at Peace Inside Live. Go check it out. And maybe depending on when this airs, soon on Amazon.
Well, fantastic. We're going to make sure that it's in the show notes because I want people to have access to this. And I really am. I'm so excited for you. I'm so supportive of this conversation because I think people need to understand how to frame this issue that they're having. They may not have put a label on it. They may not have realized that that's what they're feeling when they feel that anxiety. But I love that idea of what am I not going to do today? Because all the other things you are going to do are going to be the right things. And
setting boundaries. Boundaries are setting boundaries for yourself and really understanding what works for you. So that's it. And every day that changes.
Which is very full circle to what you said in the very beginning, and that notion of being able to sit still and pause and reflect on where you're at in your life and what you're doing, big picture, but on a daily basis, how do I choose to spend my day?
Yeah.
Where am I going to get the most value for me out of today? How will I look at my day when I get to the end of it? Is it just, oh, I went to that event so I can check it off the book box so I can tell everybody I was there? Or is it, I really got something from what I did with 2, 3 hours, 1 hour, whatever it was in my life today, or that one-on-one coffee with someone, or that time to read a passage of a book that just fulfills me, or, you know, taking a walk instead of going to a something. I mean, these are decisions we're constantly having to juggle in our very busy, full lives. And getting comfortable with that being okay, I think, is an art form and probably a necessity. The older we get, the more we have to juggle, the more we cherish and value our time and reprioritize who we're spending our time with. And
it's a muscle. And
it is.
It's allowing us to build that muscle. And the muscle changes depending on the time of your life, the context, the chapter, the reinvention.
I love it. I love it. Well, Shira, I know you and I are going to have a lot more of these conversations together, and I just adore you. I am so thrilled that I'm getting to share you with my audience. I'm going to do one quick, we're talking quick.
Yes.
And I hope I'm not catching you off guard, but this is always a fun question, and I really don't want to close without asking you this question, because I can't wait to hear your answers. If you could have a dinner party, 3 or 4 fabulous people that you would love to break bread, maybe have a little wine or tequila with, and just sort of, I can just see you at that dinner table sort of smiling and laughing and having that curious frown on your face. But who would they be? They could be dead or not living. Alive, dead or alive. Just 3 or 4 people that just you would love to have time with.
Oprah.
Yes.
I've never met Oprah. I would love to be Oprah.
Well, let's do that.
I mean, I feel like a Oprah, Beyonce, and there's one of my favorite quotes. Maya Angelou, actually, people might forget what you said or you did, but they won't forget how you made them feel. And actually, Oprah very famously interviewed her when she was alive, but that would be a badass dinner. Of the three of them, black women. Yes. And me.
Incredible. And you.
I'd be down.
I'm tagging along.
Yes. And you. Exactly.
Most definitely. Well, thank you again. An amazing conversation. So inspiring. So poignant. So important that people just truly understand their capacity and their entitlement to live the life that you want to create with the tools you have and the access you have. So please take this to heart, spend a little time with yourselves and allow yourself to live your best life. For lots more content and blogs and podcasts and interviews, please visit thereinventionexchange.com, pick up a copy of my book, listen to all these incredible stories and interviews and anecdotes, and get inspired, get motivated, and go out there and do what you want with your lives, guys. It's your right. It's your opportunity. And just happy reinventing, people. Go make it happen. And Shira, I love you. Thank you. Can't wait to hang out. Where were we in a couple of weeks together? And thank you for being on here today.
Thank you for all the work you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend, and thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.